tonight, Brother Jalen Jackson, he's one of the elders of Anchorage, the Church of Christ Anchorage, Alaska. Our theme, the Bible is right about darkness. Brother Jalen, go help us with that, understand what darkness really means. Okay, Brother Jalen, it's your time.
Yes, sir. Appreciate that. It's so wonderful to be with you all again on the Nationwide Gospel Meeting Call. I appreciate Tommy Brooks and the brothers and sisters who have worked with him to put this on every week for the last year during this pandemic. This call has been so encouraging to many, so much so, folks have listened to the sermons on this call and contacted Brother Brooks to find a congregation in the area they attend or asking how they can be baptized so they may live in another country. God is good, and he is always providing. There are many people that will have you to believe that the church is not functioning today because of the pandemic or laws or some mandates have, quote unquote, stopped us from doing so. Now, I'm here tonight to tell you that this is not the case, or you will not be here on this call with me tonight. This call has truly been a blessing. Now, on to our lesson for tonight. The Bible is right about darkness. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. Give you just a moment to get there. Ephesians chapter 5, looking at verses 1 through 12. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead, let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, but because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things they do in secret. Now, why is Paul so concerned about darkness? I mean, he was an apostle who could perform miracles. He couldn't possibly be afraid of the dark, now could he? Maybe he didn't understand that sometimes darkness is preferred over and above the bright light of day. You know, like having a candlelight wedding anniversary dinner in a darkened room that gives a special appeal to the married couple, or like going to see a movie at the theater. It only works if the theater is dark. Some people cannot sleep unless curtains block out all light and their bedroom is completely dark. I can relate to this because I live in Alaska, and the light at this time of year is still bright until very late at night. In the Bible and in literature, generally darkness is associated with things that are evil and with death. Under the cover of darkness, many crimes are committed. We think of many acts of cruelty and violence as coming from our dark side, don't we? Death is often described as something dark and sinister. It is always the bad guys in movies who wear black to symbolize their dark deeds, like Darth Vader in Star Wars or the dark land of Mordor and the Lord of the Rings. On a dark night some years ago, the lights went out in a major city. There was a huge power failure. The whole city was covered in darkness. It's not as if there hadn't been blackouts before in this city, but this one affected a wider area, and it lasted a few days. By the second night, still without power and lights, the people started looting, smashing shop windows, walking away with TV sets and toasters and stereo systems and whatever they could get their hands on. In the dark, businesses were practically destroyed, not by hardened criminals, but by neighbors, by ordinary people who lived up the road, by normally law-abiding citizens. You see, in the dark, greed took over. So let me be clear with you. I know Paul wasn't scared of the dark, but what he understood and what I would like to convey to us tonight, or to you tonight, is that whatever is your temptation, that is your darkness. Whether it be hatred, greed, not caring how your actions affect others, selfishness, sexual sins, impure thoughts, and the like are all the things that Satan, the prince of darkness, brings into our lives. Make no mistake, there is darkness inside all of us. It is the darkness of sin. Knowing this, how does darkness manifest itself in your life? Ask yourself. What outward words and actions that you know that are not what God wants from his people keep cropping up in your mind or coming out your mouth or shown by your actions? Sometimes the darkness can become so thick that we have difficulty seeing the mess that sin has made in our lives. There are so many people who live in darkness, and they don't even realize it. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11 again. It says, "Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead," what does it say there? "Expose them." The unfruitful works of darkness implies fruitful. It implies there is light and that there are works of light. So you need to understand that we live in a world of light and darkness, that God is light, and those who have put on Christ through baptism are children of light, and that Satan is darkness, and his followers are children of darkness. Darkness or sin can pull at you because at times, or at the time, it seems like so much fun, that sin. It's pleasurable. And, you know, I can get away with it. Ain't nobody gonna see me. But then when the morning light comes, we feel horrible. And we wish we could take it all back. So what do you do when you do not want to live a life in darkness, which is a life of sin? Yeah, it feels good at the time, and it's pleasurable, but you know you shouldn't be living your life in the dark. You have to understand that the world is full of immorality and ungodly behavior, and that even people we think are good fall prey to it. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I mean, looking at verse 9 starting. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. The scripture there says, "I wrote to you in my letter, not to associate with sexually immoral people." Not at all meaning the sexually immoral of this world or the greedy and swindlers or idolaters. Since then, you would need to go out of the world. "But now I am writing to you not to associate with anyone who bears the name of brother, if he is guilty of sexual immorality or greed or is an idolater, reviler, or drunkard or swindler. Not even to eat with such a one. But what have I to do with judging outsiders? Is it not those inside the church whom you are to judge? God judges those outside. Purge the evil person from among you." Now, while Paul is telling the church to stay away from church folk who are living in darkness, he points out that those who are not a part of the Church of Christ live lives full of greed, sexual sins, and who serve no one but themselves. Now you might say, "Well, I'm not a member of the Church of Christ, but I'm not full of greed. I don't deal in sexual sins. But if you're not following God, you're following Satan, you're following yourself, and you're serving no one but yourself, you're still in darkness. No matter your station in life, God does not want you living in darkness. I'm sure that many of us had parents who warned us when we were kids not to play with this friend or, you know, that friend anymore. Y'all know who I'm talking about, because they were a bad influence on us. While we could not see that at the time, it turns out our parents were right. They didn't want us to be joined or yoked with so-called friends and the things that they were doing that were wrong. Now, I use the word yoke. A yoke is a wooden beam normally used between a pair of oxen or other animals to enable them to pull together on a load when working in pairs, as oxen usually do. Wherever one goes, the other will as well. God does not want us to be in unequal relationships with those living in darkness. Turn your Bibles over to chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, starting at verse 14, it says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I dwell in them. I will dwell in them and walk with them. Excuse me. I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them. Be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean. I will receive you. I will be a father to you. And you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." Hearing these words, if you find yourself in darkness, you need to know that there is light. Come out and be separate. Come to where God is. God is not in the dark. And the scriptures we just read implies that when you come to the light, God dwells in and with you. He says he will be your father, and you will be his child. But I will tell you that there are people in this dark world who would rather that you not believe any of this. These people are often trying to justify how they can stay in the dark, though they believe it to be light, just to be able to do what they want to do. They will tell you baptism is not essential for salvation. Or, you know, You don't have to go all the way down in the water. We can just splash some water on you, pour it on you, sprinkle it on you. You don't have to worship every Sunday. You know you're tired. You worked all week. God don't understand. God wants you to be happy. So do you. You know, wear what you want to wear to if you decide to go to worship. But you don't have to wear so much. Or it can be as tight as you want it to be. God wants you to be happy. And if all of this that you're doing is wrong right now, don't worry. God's going to give you a chance. He's going to give you a chance at the end. All of this is false. As we are considering how to pull away from darkness and head to the light, we must understand that the world has its own belief or doctrine and provides an ample amount of false teaching. Let's look at 2 John 9 through 11. Scripture there says, "Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds." Why have we spent this week talking about restoration, reconciliation, being overtaken, and now talking about darkness? Well, because if we do not understand these subjects, we will not understand what God is telling us about the light. which our brother will speak on tomorrow, Lord willing. Scripture tells us in Acts chapter 13 and verse 12 that the night is far spent and the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Acts 26:18 warns against this, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Now here's a newsflash, but not really. There is darkness all around us. And of course, I know you already knew that. The darkness of sin, ungodliness, and immorality has filled the earth since Adam and Eve were driven from the garden. Knowing this, what can you do about it? Well, one responsibility we have is to expose the unfruitful works of darkness. We read that in Ephesians 5:11. But how do we do that? Well, I encourage you all that are on here tonight to go back and read all of Ephesians chapter 5. While you were once darkness, you must now have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Read through and mark how many times you read the word light in there in chapter 5, and you will discover how we are to expose the darkness. Now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. All things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. As we, one, live a life in his light, two, preach the message of his light, and three, defend the truth of his light, it is God's light that exposes the darkness. We need to live it, preach it, and defend it. But how can you live in the light? How can you preach about it? And how can you defend the light if you're not even part of it? It's not possible. But again, there is hope. I tell you and encourage you tonight, if you know you're living in darkness, you know that you are. Leave the darkness and enter the light. You must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. You must turn from darkness, your life of sin. This is called repentance. Truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, Acts 17:30 tells us, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. You must confess faith in Jesus, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, Romans 10:10. Now right here, those that want to stay in the darkness, that are trying to keep you in the darkness, will say, well, that's enough. You're saved. You believe in God. And, you know, you're trying to do the right thing. You know, you're not no one's perfect. And you said you believe in Jesus. But scripture there says, with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Do you get the connotation there? Let's say you're running from something. I shared this last time, but you're running from something that's chasing you, someone that's chasing you. You're trying to get to safety, and there's a door, and you run unto the door. Safety is on the other side of the door, but if you don't run into the door and close it, you're not going to be safe. It's the same concept here. We must hear God's word, believe it, and repent of our sins and confess with our mouths our faith in Jesus. Then we need to be baptized into him. That is, and get this understanding, that is having your entire body immersed, not sprinkled or poured upon, into water. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ, Galatians 3:27. It doesn't end there. We're added to his church. We don't join the church. We don't join the church about choice. We don't We don't just decide, oh, okay, this is just right. We're added to his church, his kingdom, his family, his one body, because Acts 2:47 tells us that God adds us to the church. And then in Revelation 2:10, the scripture tells us that even if death is staring you in the face, you remain faithful to God to the end of time, on your time on earth, and you will receive a crown of life. That means living for eternity in heaven with God after this life, with Jesus and the Holy Spirit and all the saints who remain faithful until death. Those of you who are listening tonight who are already part of the body, but you've slipped your way or danced your way or ran your way back into darkness, what's wonderful about being a Christian is that when we come to the right mindset that, wait a minute, God sent his son to die for me and I'm out here in this foolishness, let me repent and ask God for forgiveness, and God will forgive you as if nothing had happened. Your slate is wiped clean. I thank you all for being here tonight, and I hope this was an encouragement. Darkness is wrong. Let's turn towards the light. Thank you again.